Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. There were celebrations in Algeria over the weekend as football fans in the country celebrated a second Africa Cup of Nations title. Joining us with more details is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. African Cup of Nations champions, Algeria arrived home on Saturday to a hero's welcome from a huge crowd of joyful supporters and a water salute for their plane at Algiers Airport. Tens of thousands of flag-waving fans lining the road from the airport chanted as the players went on a victory parade through the capital in an open-top bus. An early strike earned a 1-0 victory over Senegal in Friday's final in Cairo, propelling Algeria, known as the Phoenix Foxes, to a first Cup of Nations title in 29 years. On Friday night, it was Baghdad Bounidja who gave Algeria a dream start in the second minute when his deflected shot looped over Senegal goalkeeper Alfred Gomes, and it proved enough for the 1990 champions to lift the trophy on a foreign soil for the first time. Some football fans described Algeria's victory as well-deserved.
They scored early, and which is natural. Sometimes you try to hold on to what you have. You know, they made it difficult for the Senegalese, but that, at that moment, we saw a Senegalese team that showed a lot of character. They showed a lot of desire, and that's all you can ask when you lose. They gave everything on the pitch today.
They're sitting in, they're managing the game, they got their goal in the first minute. Why open it? Lift the trophy, that's it.
And staying with the African Cup of Nations, 2019 AFCON winners, Desert Foxes of Algeria, will receive a cash reward of $4.5 million for emerging champions of the tournament, while the Teranga Lions of Senegal, who emerged first runners-up, will collect $2.5 million. Nigeria's Super Eagles will receive a $2 million cash prize for their third-place finish. CAF unveiled all the participating teams' earnings at the tournament, with host Pharaohs, who were eliminated in the second round, consoling themselves with a total prize money of $670,000. The 2019 African Cup of Nations may be well over, but there are still stories making the headlines as a result of the fallout from the championship. Nigeria striker Odion Ighalo announced on Saturday his retirement from international football after winning the Golden Boot at the African Cup of Nations. The 30-year-old Shanghai Shenhua striker struck five times as the Super Eagles finished third in Egypt, bagging him the top scorer honors with two goals more than Sadio Mane and Riyad Mahrez and Cedric Bakambu. In total, Ighalo scored 16 goals for Nigeria in 35 appearances, and he also captained the country's under-20 team to the 2009 World Cup, also held in Egypt. Elsewhere, Hervé Renard has left his post as Morocco coach after their shock early exit at the African Cup of Nations. The 50-year-old Frenchman wrote on Twitter on Sunday, quote, "It's time for me to close this long and beautiful chapter of my life, not without some emotion and sadness." End of quote. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. Samson mentioned the international retirement of Nigerian striker Odion Ighalo, the leading scorer at the Nations Cup. Another key member of the Super Eagles of Nigeria, longtime team captain John Obi Mikel, also announced his international retirement. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the group sports editor of the Lagos-based Vanguard newspaper, Tony Ubani.
It's an emotional thing. Mikel's own was expected because he had already dropped hints before the Nations Cup, you know, that he was going to call it quits at the end. And I remember too that when he was invited to the camp, there were a lot of eyebrows that were raised because he didn't take part in the qualifiers. And of course, during the tournament proper, Mikel, we also saw he played one match that was not satisfactory. And at least he knew that the time had beckoned for him to say bye. And I'm indeed very, very proud of him because it's a bit historical, because this is where he started his first Nations Cup in Egypt. And of course, retiring in Egypt, not too many players but have this beautiful opportunity of ending it all where it all started. I wish him very well. Mikel has contributed his own quota to Nigerian football, and I think when the history of Nigerian football will be written, Mikel will be remembered very, very well. He's done so well for Nigeria, and he has shot himself into the annals of Nigerian football. As for Odion Ighalo, it's a bit surprising, you know, that because there was no hint dropped at all that he was going to retire, knowing that he did so well. He was the highest goal scorer at the AFCON qualifiers, and even at the men proper, AFCON proper, he has shown brightly. So I wonder why he's throwing in the towel at this time. But then for players, they listen to their body language. If indeed your body is no longer carrying you, I think the best thing is to quit while the ovation is very, very loud. For the two of them, I doff my hat for them. They have played so well at this tournament, and indeed, they have contributed their own quota to Nigerian football. And I know that they are also leaving so that the younger ones can also rise.
Do you think the absence or exit of Mikel Obi and Odion Ighalo will create room for younger players to take up positions in the Super Eagles?
Absolutely, Mike. As in, there's a nature abhors a vacuum. And indeed, you know, once anybody makes a move, somebody will definitely take his position. Mikel and Odion Ighalo, definitely, they have, you know, very ready replacement. Nigeria have a lot of talent. Talents abound everywhere. And I think it's a challenge to the younger ones for them to rise up. And we have them in quantum. When you talk about talents, that will definitely take up. Before Mikel, okay, nobody knew who Mikel was or Odion Ighalo. There were so many other people, you know, before them. And now that they have left, then I think that so many other people will definitely feel the shoes they are leaving, no matter the size of the shoes.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria won the bronze medal in the 2019 AFCON. What's your assessment of the team in the tournament overall?
Yeah, Mike, you know, I'm a very blunt person. So the assessment, the Super Eagles were not at their best because I think that they had everything for them to have played in the finals of the AFCON. And indeed, with history behind Nigeria, I think that there is no position that the Super Eagles play to except getting to the final that is even consolatory to so many Nigerians. So getting knocked out in the semifinals and getting a bronze medal, it's no record. It's there is nothing to write home about that. There are getting a number of bronze medals. That's one bronze medal too many. That's if you talk about since we started, they have gotten 8 bronze medals. And no matter the number of bronze medals you have, it doesn't make up to gold. So I think that they should aspire more into, you know, putting their house in order. One good thing that I love about the team is, you know, the abundance of young talents, younger players.
That's Tony Ubani, the group sports editor of the Lagos-based Vanguard newspaper. And Tony spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. African athletes were in outstanding form at the Muller Anniversary Games in London over the weekend, the 10th round of the Diamond League season. World champion Helen Obiri of Kenya led the way with victory in the women's 5,000 meters, while South Africans Luvo Manyanga and Akani Simbine triumphed in the men's long jump and 100 meters, respectively. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with them at trackside.
What a boost Helen Obiri gave herself as the countdown continues towards the World Championships in Doha in early October. Kenya's world champion won the 5,000 metres with the fastest time in the world this year, 14 minutes 20.36. But even more significant, after a few races where things did not go to plan, she beat Dutch rival Sifan Hassan off the final bend.
As you can see, I did like my all races I did outside, like line two, because I didn't want any trouble. And during the last lap, I said no. Let me be patient and wait because I knew Sivan was there. So I said maybe I try to go like 250 to go. So I said maybe if I can go, maybe she cannot catch me because I'm even quicker in the last 200 and 300.
It wasn't all success for the African contenders. Nigel Amos of Botswana had recaptured his best form in the 800 going into London, running 1:41. But he pulled up on the first lap as victory went to the Kenyan Ferguson Rotich. There was much better news for South Africa's Commonwealth champion Akane Simbine, who won his premier event of the 100 in a season's best, 9.93. Deciding to run fewer races this season is paying off, especially since the World Championships are late on the calendar.
Last year we had a lot of races and that was because our championship was so early in the year. So now this year the championship is late in the year, so we just need to make sure that I don't peak too early.
His fellow South African Luvo Manyonga knows all about the London Stadium. It was where he won the world long jump title 2 years ago. Manyonga coped with the typically windy conditions to win with 8 metres 37.
I'll rate my performance as like brilliant. It was a fantastic performance. Like I started the year like slowly, but now I can see myself like the fitness is there, and it shows that I can go to the Diamond League final prepared.
And it seemed just standing here in the mix zone that it's windy. How was it out on the track in the long jump?
It was crazy. Like I had like a jump of 8.11 with minus 2.5. That shows me how like the fitness level is like is quite great at the moment. Like my season is only beginning now.
Such a gathering of top athletes is not all about the African performers, of course. There were plenty of stars from around the world on show, not least the exuberant Carsten Warholm of Norway, breaking his own European record in the men's 400 hurdles. It's interesting to note that his Qatari rival, Abderrahman Samba, withdrew from the 400 flat because of an injury twinge. Ethiopia's Hagos Gebrehiwet completed a splendid week, winning the 5,000 metres after taking the national trial for 10,000 at Hengelo in the Netherlands and so guaranteeing his selection for Doha. Not for the first time, one of Norway's immensely talented Ingebrigtsen brothers also made news by breaking the national record in chasing Gebrehiwet to the line. Jakob Ingebrigtsen is only 18 and has now run 3 minutes 30 for 1500 and 13.02 for 5000, and that is a terrific range, winning European titles last year in both. But what also marks him and his two brothers, Henrik and Philip, out is their utter refusal to be overawed by any African challenger.
If you want to be the best, you have to consider yourself the best. But of course, I'm not the best yet. I'm still improving, and I know that I'm able to, if I'm doing the work that needs to be done the next couple of years, I know that I'm going to be faster.
Ethiopia's world indoor champion at 1500, Samuel Tefera, just held off another of the Ingebrigtsen brothers, Philip, to win the mile on Sunday. The Ivory Coast's Marie-José Talou finished third behind a dominant Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce of Jamaica in the women's 100, but there is still plenty of season left before the World Championships in Doha in early October. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino fighter Manny Pacquiao claimed the World Boxing Association Super Welterweight title over the weekend with a split decision victory over American Keith Thurman in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 40-year-old Manny Pacquiao used speed and stamina to defy his age, claim the world welterweight title, and hand Keith Thurman the first defeat of his career. After the match, Pacquiao, donning a pair of sunglasses and looking largely unscathed, had nothing but praise for his hard-hitting opponent.
This guy is he's a warrior. I can say that because I've been fighting a lot of opponent, and this guy is heavy-handed, man. It's kind of opponent that, you know, you underestimate. So, but thank you. I mean, of the support, because I did my hard work training for this fight. I think I just blessed because I got him in the first round, and that's the key. I think that's the turning the point of being a winner tonight.
Pacquiao referring to the knockdown punch he landed late in the first round. At 30, Thurman had youth, height, and reach on his side Saturday night, but it wasn't enough in that opening round or in the rounds that followed. Afterwards, Thurman, looking a bit bruised and swollen, said he could have done more to win the fight.
There's many, many times in the sport of boxing where one fight changes the course of the outcome. So for me, he started with the knockdown in the first and that body shot there later, and it was hard to convince the judges that I did enough.
But Thurman was upbeat despite suffering his first loss.
Tonight was a great night of boxing. There was just some adjustments that I didn't make that I could have made. You know, I was aware of Manny Pacquiao's springiness. I was aware that I should have done my head movement. But being aware and doing what you need to do are two different things in the ring. I was beaten tonight, and that's the sport of boxing, baby. But your boy Keith one time is here, and I'm not going nowhere, and I'll be back.
And he meant what he said. The defending champion has already called for a rematch against Pacquiao to try to win back the welterweight title. Thurman's record now stands at 29 wins and one loss. Pacquiao's victory takes his record to 62 wins, 7 losses, and 2 draws. And he says he's not done yet.
I can still fight. I can give a good fight. I can entertain the fans. The ability that I have, this is not my own, but God gave me this ability to continue my career for a purpose. And I believe that I'm here to inspire the fans, inspire the people of boxing. Not only that, being a role model to everyone.
Well, Pacquiao has definitely done that. He is the oldest welterweight world champion and the only man in boxing history to hold world titles in 8 different divisions. Congratulations to the Pac-Man. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with more football news. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Tottenham got off to a great start in the International Champions Cup match after securing a 3-2 win over Juventus, thanks to the team's reliable goal scorer, Harry Kane. The match appeared destined for penalties before the England striker unleashed a first-time rocket that flew over the head of Juventus's backpedaling goalkeeper Wishes Chesney. Eric Lamela had put Spurs ahead on the half-hour mark before Juventus replied with goals from Gonzalo Higuain and Cristiano Ronaldo. Lucas Moura later came off the bench to level. Next up for Juventus is a Serie A matchup against Inter Milan on Wednesday, while Tottenham plays Manchester United on Thursday. Arsenal also produced a 3-0 victory over Fiorentina in the International Champions Cup in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks to English footballer of Ghanaian descent Edin Ketia, who netted a brace in each half before Joe Willock sealed the win. The Gunners will face Real Madrid in their final game of their ICC campaign on Tuesday in Landover, Maryland, aiming to finish their US tour with a 100% record. Real Madrid will also be looking to bounce back from their 3-1 loss to Bayern Munich. Roy Patricio saved 3 penalties as Wolves beat Premier League champions Manchester City 3-2 to win the Premier League Asia Trophy, while Manchester United secured a 1-0 win against Inter Milan.
Prince, I hear Gareth Bale is on his way out of Real Madrid.
That's right, Sonny. His time is almost certainly over, even though the world's international still has 3 years left on his Real Madrid contract. His agent called Zinedine Zidane a disgrace after the Real Madrid boss said that he had hoped the Welsh wing outlive the Bernabeu soon. The 30-year-old will surely be missed after helping Real Madrid win the Champions League 4 times since his $106 million move to Madrid from Tottenham in 2013. And this is actually a world record deal at that particular time. In addition, he's also won a Copa del Rey, a Spanish Super Cup, and a La Liga title, plus 3 Club World Cup titles and 3 UEFA Super Cups. But the thing with him is that injury problems have often limited his participation in the team. Plus, the club right now has a deep roster and may not actually need him on it.
Prince, what's the latest football transfer news?
Sure, there's plenty of news, Sonny. Juventus have already completed the signing of Netherlands centre-back Matthias De Ligt from Ajax. The 19-year-old signed a 5-year contract with the Serie A champions, and he's not actually the only player who has signed for Juventus this summer. The old lady have acquired the services of Luca Pellegrini from Roma, Christian Romero from Genoa, Marie Demiral from Sassuolo, while Adrian Rabiot, Gianluigi Buffon, and Aaron Ramsey have actually arrived as free agents. Chelsea youngster and world's international of Ghanaian descent Ethan Ampadu is also expected to seal a loan move to Bundesliga side RB Leipzig, while West Brom striker Solomon Rondon has actually joined Chinese Super League club Dalian Yifeng for an undisclosed fee. Kieran Trippier has also completed one of the more eye-catching transfers of the summer to date after joining Atletico Madrid from Tottenham in a deal worth at least $25 million. The England fullback, who made over 100 appearances through a four-season stint at the North London club after arriving from Burnley, has signed a three-year contract at the Wanda Metropolitano.
Here in the United States, Prince, the two Major League Soccer clubs based in the Los Angeles area played each other, and I understand Zlatan Ibrahimovic stole the show.
That's right, Sonny. The Swedish international superstar put on a show and delivered one of his finest performances since coming to Major League Soccer last year. He netted a hat-trick as the Galaxy dictated times to earn a 3-2 win over Los Angeles Football Club in a match that was played at Dignity Health Sports Park. The question as to who is the better player between Ibrahimovic and Vela dominated the build-up to El Trafico, and although the Galaxy took the victory with Ibrahimovic scoring a hat-trick, Vela made it 21 goals for the season in just 20 games, which is actually a new MLS record. On the other hand, Ibrahimovic now has 41 goals in 44 MLS games and 520 career goals across all leagues, and is actually declared that he's the best player in the MLS by far, adding that on the pitch he's quote-unquote like a Ferrari among Fiat. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Like a Ferrari among Fiats. I like that, Prince. Irish golfer Shane Lowry won the 148th British Open in Northern Ireland. Mark Tompkins reports from the Royal Portrush course.
Shane Lowry is the 2019 Open champion after a brilliant display of controlled golf in tricky conditions at Portrush, leading Tommy Fleetwood by four overnight. The Irishman dropped a shot on his opening hole, but then birdies on four and five increased his lead to five shots. The Englishman closed the gap, but after a double bogey on 14, his chance was gone. Another birdie for Lowry saw him move to 15 under and a six-shot winning margin.
I think a lot of people made the last-minute journey up here because I was leading. You were great out there today. It's funny, I sometimes struggle to play in front of a home crowd and have done in the past, but not over the last few days. I played lovely, so it was, yeah, it's obviously very nice.
Fleetwood finished on his own in second, with Tony Finau third. None of the final 12 groups finished under par. Brooks Koepka shot 74, John Rahm 75, and Justin Rose 79, thanks to the poor weather. A fantastic Open Championship with Irishman Shane Lowry, a worthy winner.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Tompkins reporting from Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Top cyclists just finished some of the toughest mountain stages of the Tour de France. Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel is here to give us a race update and a preview of how the final few stages are shaping up. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. When Julian Alaphilippe took control of the general classification lead on stage three, few people thought the French rider would still be wearing the yellow jersey 2 weeks later as he heads into stage 17. But here he is, holding a 1 minute 35 second lead over British defending champion Geraint Thomas, following two brutal mountain stages in the Pyrenees. Alaphilippe pulled off arguably the biggest surprise of the tour on Friday when he beat out Thomas to win the individual time trial. So many thought that after that, his legs would be too tired to keep up his momentum in the steep mountains. However, in Saturday's leg, he not only stayed with the top group, but gained time on Thomas, finishing in second place on the stage, giving him 36 seconds on the eighth-placed Brit. Alaphilippe finally showed he was human on Sunday's stage 15, finishing outside the top 10, while Thomas finished 7th. This allowed Thomas to gain 27 seconds back, but Alaphilippe still holds a sizable lead during a much-needed rest day. And despite Alaphilippe retaining his yellow jersey lead, the dominant rider this weekend was Frenchman Thibaut Pinot, who finished first on Saturday and second on Sunday. And if you're a cycling fan, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are your best days to watch. Sunday, the race should be decided by that point. That's all I have in this Tour de France update. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ryan. Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks also to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. More thanks to VOA engineer Joe Gill. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Join me Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC for the latest in Africa news, features, and sports. We are also available on the internet at www.voaafrica.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
As astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were taking their first steps on the moon on July 20th, 1969, there were people who claimed that the moon landing was faked and its television coverage was nothing more than an elaborate motion picture produced in Hollywood. 50 years later, the conspiracy theory still attracts attention. Trevor Ireland, a space rock expert at the Australian National University and one of the scientists to analyze moon rock and soil samples, says taking a good look at the materials collected by the astronauts is all that it takes to debunk the conspiracy theories. He says the lunar soil was nothing that had been seen before on Earth, and the composition of the rocks are unique to the moon. He suggests any attempt to make moon rocks in a laboratory would be a failure and would cost more money than it would take NASA to get to the moon and back. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it, yeah. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.